I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things.
Ready.
All right. We're live now. We're recording now. So whatever dumbass thing you want to say, Josh, go ahead.
I don't have any dumbass thing to say.
Guess there's a first time for everything. All right. Well, welcome to Very Unreasonable Things. I'm Billy Bone. Joining me is Josh Lindsay.
Howdy, howdy.
And we got Chris Williams with us today, special guest.
Hello, everybody. I'm back again. Round two.
So Chris is joining us. We're continuing our movies that are based in states or however the fuck. What was the list called again, Josh?
I think it was just like the best horror movie from, I don't think that, I mean, it was just a Reddit post, but it was just like they took the best horror movie from each state.
Yeah. I don't interrupt. I actually read the Reddit post stuff. They actually based the movies on where the movie actually takes place itself.
Yeah, but then it was also like, what's the best one that takes place in this state?
Oh, that's true.
And some of these states got some pretty shitty movies.
Yeah, they do.
Mississippi, I'm looking at you because Beasts Within was bad.
Yeah, it was on the lower end of like what these other states had, yeah.
Chris, the time for typing is done, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'll just put up the list.
So, we let Chris choose a movie because, you know, he's doing this with us. And we were doing three movies anyways. So, to be fair, we let Chris pick one. Chris chose The Last House on the Left, the 2009 remake. And where is this movie supposed to take place at?
Connecticut, I think.
This movie takes place, probably because I wrote this down. yes, Connecticut. That is correct.
I was going to say, you got to be prepared to defend your movie.
Hey, I don't know. I'm not going to say my opinion on it, but we'll get to that.
Why are we doing the remake and not the OG?
Oh, that was going to be my next question. And that's a good question, Josh.
Because, I prefer newer visuals over older visuals. And turns out,
you are telling on yourself at the jump.
This dude prefers the Poltergeist remake.
I've never seen Poltergeist. I don't know. I've never seen the remake of the original. Look, plus it's got some good actors in it that I was surprised to see. So there we go. You know, I don't know about the original, but we'll see.
You know, he says good actors. He was surprised because I watched this with Chris. We watched it together actually when we were taking notes. He was surprised to see one actor. He was surprised
one actor,
to see Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul, yeah, of course.
Listen, of course, dude.
Did you know any of the other players in this?
There's one guy that looked familiar. What's his name?
Who looked familiar. It's either Tony Goldwyn or Garrett Dillahunt, okay?
Garrett Dillahunt, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I remember Monica Potter.
Yeah, Monica Potter had her moment. Yeah, she had a good 3-year window. But I want to take this moment before we start talking about Last House on the Left. Chris, I just, you know, you were on before. I didn't listen to the episode.
Oh, okay.
When Bone said Chris is going to be on that first time, I said, I ain't fucking doing it. You know, I said, not on my goddamn watch. I'll sit this one out. But so I want to take this moment and I think we should get to know Chris Williams. Now, if we did any editing in this podcast, we'd have a little bit of music, and it's like, get to know Chris Williams.
We're not fucking doing that.
No, we're blown past that. Podcast is not worth it.
I subscribe to the, you know, the Tell Them Steve Dave podcast?
I mean, no, I know who you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyways.
Well, it's the fucking Mallrats guys. I don't listen to that though.
I thought you were the one that told me about it.
No, not man. No.
Well, anyways, I think it's Brian Johnson. Ain't that his name? Or is that his name? Well, anyways, the guy that does the editing on that podcast, he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to, when we're done with this, I'm posting it. And that's how I'm trying to be now. When we're done, that's it. I'm going to add the theme music. I'm going to add the soundbite. And this bitch is getting posted in a couple weeks.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I can't say shit because I'm not doing the editing. But, okay. Let's get to know Chris Williams. Chris, I'm just going to ask you some questions, man.
Okay.
Tell us about yourself, okay?
Okay.
Name, it doesn't have to be in order. Name four of your favorite movies.
Four movies.
Off the top of your mind, off the top of your head, off the top of the dome.
All right. There's not much up there, but I'll try my best. All right. So first one probably would be Inception with Christopher Nolan, obviously.
Let's stop right there.
Uh-oh.
Now, Josh, tell them your theory on people that say Inception is their favorite movie.
No, I don't have a theory on people who say that. And this isn't my segment. This is Chris. Keep going, Chris. I'm not going to hate on anything that you say.
Okay. Well, let's talk about them in a few minutes about it. Inception, then Hacksaw Ridge. Actually, I probably put Hacksaw Ridge above Inception, honestly, because I've watched that movie like three or four times, and it's so good. I love Hacksaw Ridge. Then probably, oh, geez, what other movie do I like besides those? Those are two of my favorites. What else do I like? Probably Willy's Wonderland. It's a great movie. You guys should check it out. Nicolas Cage. I've even got the steelbook right here sitting in my hand.
You got to get the steelbook.
That's right.
You got to get the steelbook.
From Scream Factory. And then probably one I've actually seen kind of recently that I liked a lot. It's probably Kong Skull Island. That one is really good.
Okay. Tell us four of your favorite artists, bands, whoever. What do you listen to?
I like Eminem. Eminem's great. Big fan of Eminem.
Kids Pop or whatever it's called.
No Kids Pop. Eminem. I like Skillet. Kind of like their very old songs. I like them a lot. Hollywood Undead, when they did their swan songs, those are really good. Again, they're not really so great anymore. They used to be. And I like Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley is like one of my favorite artists of all time. I love Elvis Presley.
Okay.
There you go.
Do you have any favorite authors?
No.
That man doesn't read. Skin.
No, Stephen King's pretty good. I haven't read any of his books, but I like his movies, so for the most part.
So Stephen King's pretty good. I haven't seen or read any of his books. I've only seen his movies.
Yeah, I don't read books, really. Or I did read one book one time. I don't know who wrote it, but it was George Washington's Socks. It was a long time ago, dude. Don't ask me. Don't ask. I don't know.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. I was going to write down some like more funner questions, but I don't know. I mean, this is, you're listening to the Bare Minimum podcast. I mean, so
he's already,
I think,
lost
the
interest
bare minimum.
In you.
Oh. No, I never heard of Skillet or Hollywood Undead. So I mean,
you never heard what?
You have. You've heard them. You just didn't realize it because they used to do the theme song to Raw.
There's been a lot though.
Chris, sing it for him.
Oh no, Undead. That's how the whole song goes.
No, they did that one.
Which one?
Oh my God. How did that fuck? It was during the Attitude area.
Well, they have Undead, Sell Your Soul, California. There's a couple different ones.
Okay.
There's a lot of Hollywood Undead songs.
So it's like new metal.
I suppose.
He means when he says new metal, he means in new metal. Not new as in like time based. It's a genre of metal.
Okay.
And how old are you, Chris?
25.
25. Okay.
I got them young jeans.
This is going to be in all fairness, this is the Valentine's Day episode. Chris picked Last House on the Left. He's a big fan of rape revenge movies. He said it's romantic. He's 25 years old. So Chris is going to be our Cupid baby this episode. I wish you were wearing nothing but the sash with a little bow and arrow.
Now I gotta preface this by saying, because Josh called it the Valentine's Day episode, it'll come out nowhere near Valentine's Day. We're recording on Valentine's Day.
No, yeah. We are.
This shit will come out in March.
Dude, I was not expecting you to say that.
I've got we've got like four episodes in the bank. Like, we are, for the first time, and I addressed this on the Facebook page. I don't know if you saw it, Josh.
No, of course I did.
I know you.
I don't fuck with Facebook, man. I'm sorry.
You could be, you know, promoting this to your Swedish friends. To Stockholm, 2 million people out there.
That's bold of you to assume I have Swedish friends.
They could all be very unreasonable cling listeners. But what I'm saying is, I did make a post acknowledging the fact that our episode output in 2023 sucked. We barely got an episode a month, it seemed like. The goal is to at least have two episodes a month. But like we talked about, Josh, if we can record regular, why not an episode a week? Right?
Why not?
Yes, sir.
Why not us? Why not us?
Exactly.
Dude, that'd be great, dude. More episodes with Chris. Dude, I bring the party to the house. Oh, yes, sir.
Let's talk about your fucking movie that you picked out.
Okay.
So, The Last House on the Left, 2009, was directed by Dennis Elitis?
Sure. Yeah, that's his name.
Starring Sarah Paxton, Tony Goldwyn, Monica Parter. What was that other person that you said, Josh?
Garrett Dillahunt.
Yeah, Garrett Dillahunt.
Ricky Lindholm.
Oh, yeah. 110 minutes, released March 13th, 2009. Budget of $15 million, made $46
million. Hmm? That's a little better than I would assume. I thought this movie came and went.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember this being released?
I remember it coming out, and I remember not watching it.
Yeah. I remember thinking, what's the point, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's the reason why it's kind of odd for us to, because the first one, you know, is kind of this horror movie. I mean, I don't want to say, like classic, but it is kind of like in that pantheon, you know?
Yeah.
And they had like the greatest movie poster tagline: to avoid fainting, keep repeating, it's only a movie. It's only a movie. I'm sure the movie does not live up to that fucking tagline, obviously, but it was Craven's first, you know? And it was kind of like this grindhouse movie, which this movie is not. And this remake does not even come close to a grindhouse feel.
Nah, it's too clean.
It's very clean.
Yep. So, a question we always ask, you know, what's your experience with the movie? When did you first watch it? Chris, when did you first watch this movie?
I watched it 2 or 3 days ago. I can't remember how long it was now.
So that was the first time?
Yes.
You pick this movie then?
I didn't know it was about rape when I first was chosen. I had no idea.
I mean, the podcast can't see you winking, so it's cool.
What? Hey, yo, I ain't doing none of that. No, I didn't. I gotta be honest, when I look up horror movies and stuff like that, I like the nudity stuff. So I didn't know this had that kind of stuff in it. I just saw it said severe sex and nudity on IMDb, and I'm like, sure, let's go for it. So there you go.
This motherfucker, Josh, when we watch movies, he gets super excited about nudity.
Listen,
I've seen it firsthand.
What did we watch yesterday?
What movie
was it that we watched? Because I picked it because I knew Chris would enjoy it.
Blood Harvest.
Oh yeah, Blood Harvest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it said it had a lot of nudity in it. And I was like, oh, well, watch this. Chris will get a kick out of it.
And I did. I did.
Have you seen Blood Harvest, Josh?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man, dude. That movie's crazy.
Is it a older movie?
87?
Yeah. 87? Yeah.
No, but that was the reason why I chose this one. I had no idea about the cast until we started watching it. So that was a big plus. And it had pretty good acting in it. So, you know, it worked out.
It had acting. I'll agree to that. It had acting.
Oh no.
Is this? I know the answer to this question because you've already told on yourself. But does this make you want to go back and watch the original?
I mean, look. Besides the visual aspect of things, there are some older movies that have good visuals. But yeah, I'd be probably pretty interested to see the original, see how it compares.
Now, Chris sits here and says that he likes newer movies, but like, generally, all we've been watching recently is like, you know, 70s and 80s movies.
That's true. Now, let me say this, though. Even though I prefer visuals of the newer movies, like they have some pretty good CGI and stuff like that out there nowadays, I do like classic movies from the 80s and stuff. I have nothing against them. In fact, they're, you know, some of my favorites out there. But newer movies do have better visuals overall, you know. So, you know.
That's I disagree with that completely.
Oh.
Completely.
Oh,
I think newer movies look flat. They look digital.
Oh,
that's just my opinion. But I know what you mean. They're at least high definition.
There you go, high definition. Yeah. And have you never seen the newer Avatar movies? They look great.
I have not.
Oh,
and that is all digital.
I tried to watch the first Avatar movie and I fell asleep.
Oh man, it was great.
I watched the first one. I did watch the first one. But I have zero desire to see any of the sequels.
Mm.
The first one was okay. I mean,
First one's good. Second one I watched it in theater. It was really good too. It was a good sequel to the first one. And they got like three more planned too. So I can't wait to see those two. James Cameron, dude. Gotta love him.
James Cameron. Who prioritizes technology over actual storytelling.
Oh,
and you can't convince me otherwise.
No, I wouldn't say that's true.
He's always about what new thing can I do? Because it was 3D with Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
It was CGI with Terminator 2. Remember that?
Because
we talked about this before.
Well, the Abyss kind of pushed the envelope there as well, though.
Yeah, but Terminator 2.
The Abyss showed him he could do T-1000.
I don't know why you always got to contradict me.
No, I'm just, come on, it makes sense, right?
I'm just fucking with you. Just give you shit.
Oh, what about Titanic? He did Titanic.
Yeah. That was another, like, hey, look at me. I'm doing this big movie with, you know, technology.
Man. The hate on James Cameron, dude. Let me email him real quick.
I don't hate him. He's made some movies I really like. I just feel like he does prioritize like the technological aspect of filmmaking more so than the storytelling.
Yeah. Okay.
Josh, it feels like it's, sorry, go ahead. And no, I was just gonna say it does feel like Cameron after Terminator 2, he immediately put his head up his ass. You know?
Yeah.
Terminator, the first one, and Aliens are like, to me, just classics. And then it just, I don't know. I haven't seen The Abyss. The Abyss just now got their 4K release.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie either. I've heard good things about it.
Oh yeah, I've heard good things.
Well, it's gotta be better than Deep Star 6.
I've never seen Deep Star 6. I don't know what it's about.
I think that was a me and Daniel episode. Yeah.
I think I watched it after y'all covered it.
I don't know why. Do you hate yourself?
Was that the one with Peter Weller?
No, that was Leviathan.
No. Okay. Who's the lead in Deep Star 6?
Somebody.
No. Yeah. Who was that?
An actor.
Hmm.
Yeah. Not because he was a guy at the moment.
He was a guy. And there was a female also, who I think was pregnant in the movie.
Greg Evigant. Yes, the guy from My Two Dads. That's right. If you remember that show, My Two Dads, yeah.
Was that on when I was alive?
No. Well, this movie wasn't on when you were alive. Last House on the Left wasn't. 2009.
What's your experience with the movie, Josh?
None. It came and went, and I kind of forgot that they had done that. You know, me and you were talking yesterday, these alts remake of every horror property they could.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen the original, you know. So I didn't have anything. I didn't have any kind of like preconceived notions about this movie.
I want to say I've seen the original before. I'd never seen this remake either. It, like you said, came and went, and there was no desire to watch it. And then Chris is like, let's do this one for the podcast, guys. So here we are.
I know. And here's the thing, Chris.
Uh-huh.
You picked this 2009 one. But
yep.
On that list that you read that we were looking at,
mm-hmm.
Did it say to this one?
No, I assume.
No, because it'd have to be the original. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't see. So it didn't what specify. You're saying
is Chris cheated.
No. It didn't specify. It didn't specify
the rules.
No. It didn't specify nothing. Cause like on some of these, they have the year next to it, but this one, they don't. So like, I have to assume they talked about the remake, you know?
No, it's the original.
You have to assume they talked about the remake.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, guys. It has happened to Bob Bope, to watch a remake.
You know, I tell you what, another movie that's on that list, and Josh knows what I'm talking about, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is on there for Texas, and it's not the remake.
0% chance.
It could be the remake.
It's not.
Oh man, now you're making me feel bad. I mean, it's okay.
No. Look, it's fine. It's fine. Right. It's fine. It's fine.
Are you sure?
I think I just gave my review of the movie there.
Oh man,
dude. So let's talk about this movie then.
Okay, let's do it.
And let's just hammer on Chris this whole episode, Josh.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'm ready for it.
So the movie starts off and we see a cop car transporting a prisoner, stops on a train, and a truck smashes into it. This them springing this guy from police custody is all contingent on a train coming at that time.
It would appear so.
Like, if that train didn't come, if there was a delay, then what would you have done?
I guess just wait until the next train, I guess.
Probably just run him off the road, I guess. I don't know. But I didn't... Look, you can't really use your head too much with this movie, though. Like, you can't really be questioning the plot. I mean, it is what it is, I guess. But... I will say this, the guy who was riding shotgun, one of the cops, because one of the cops does not say a fucking word, the driver, the guy who's talking to him, I think it's Michael Bowen, who's been in a couple of Tarantino movies, pretty good. I was surprised to see him. I was surprised to see a couple of these people, like Chris alluded to, like you were, I didn't know, Aaron Paul was in this. I didn't know fucking Ricky Lindholm was in this. I didn't know she had did dramatic parts like this in 2009.
Are you surprised to see Aaron Paul because you remember him from Breaking Bad?
Who, me?
No, I'm asking in general because Josh was surprised to see Aaron Paul in the movie. And it's almost because, and I think, and I may be wrong. I may be extrapolating something that's not there. But I kind of get that sense from Josh. Like, he's surprised to see Aaron Paul in there because, you know, Aaron Paul did Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad was really good. why is he in this turd?
Yeah.
But don't forget, Aaron Paul also did Need for Speed.
He did. Hey, by the way, Need for Speed was a very good movie. So I don't hear nothing about that. You guys, don't be hating on me, dude. It was a good movie. Also, yeah, I was surprised to see Aaron Paul's movie because I know him from Breaking Bad mainly. What's going on here? What's going on?
You got some flaming hot Cheeto takes. You know that?
Dude, it was good.
I mean, just
dude.
Wild.
Dude, for a live action Need for Speed, it wasn't that bad, dude.
We're going to not even be able to talk about the movie because we're going to have Chris defend all his movies that he's talking about.
Every one of them, yeah.
I mean, I'd be ready for it. But no, I was surprised to see Aaron Paul, mainly because I know him from Breaking Bad. Like, if he never starred in Breaking Bad, I wouldn't be like, who is, it's just another guy. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So
no, I guess I was more surprised just because, like when I cut on this movie, I knew Tony Goldwyn was in it, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know Garrett Dillahunt was in it, and I love him as a character actor. He's so good in everything. He's so good that he played two different characters in Deadwood. Like, that's how good he was. But you're kind of surprised to see faces pop up that you recognize because this movie did come and go, and it felt like nobody gave this movie a second thought. And probably the reason why is Sean S. Cunningham fucking produced it.
Did he produce this one also?
He produced it, yes, with Craven, yes.
I knew Craven was involved.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, Sean Cunningham.
Yeah, Jonathan Craven, Wes Craven, Sean S. Cunningham, Greg Buckle, Jonathan Craven. Or I just said it. But yeah, you get a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
who's got a cat?
I do.
Oh, I didn't even know you had a cat. Go ahead. Now, what was you gonna say about this movie, Chris?
Well, I don't know too
because...
much. Well, I do like it. I did like it. I thought it was pretty good. Again, the acting on it was really well played out. You know, the scene where the girl's getting sexually assaulted, she played it out pretty well. Like, you know, she's horrified, obviously, that that's happening to her, which is obviously you'd be. And so she played it pretty well. And I thought it had a good beginning, middle, and end. I liked it a lot.
At any point, Chris, did you sympathize with the attackers? Did you think they were good guys at any point in the movie?
Not exactly. Now, listen, I will say, though, I did feel bad for one of the guys. Justin, I felt really bad for him because he wasn't really a bad guy at all throughout the movie. He didn't do anything to really consider him a bad guy. I mean, he sat around while they did everything to the other people, but he couldn't leave. You
know? Okay, before we go on, Chris, tell people who Justin is in the movie.
Justin is kind of just one of the members of this organization gang.
He's not a member. He's not a member.
He's the son.
He's the son, but he's affiliated with them in some capacity. But
he's affiliated in a way that's like his dad has for some reason he's with his dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the movie wants you to paint it like he doesn't agree with their moral
exactly.
activities. Justin and. Again, Chris, you're baby Cupid over there. You won't know who I'm talking about. Justin looks like but maybe Bone, you'll know who I'm talking about. Justin looks like if you asked AI to create Lachlan Monroe.
I don't know the name.
Okay. Whatever my opinion is of this movie, the character of Justin needed to be cut the fuck out of this movie. He has not made it. He's a waste. Like,
nah. Let's hold on. We're getting so far ahead. Let's save it.
Okay.
I'm gonna bring us back in because I agree with you about Justin, but I don't want to just like, you know, throw it out there right now.
Well, it doesn't matter because like Justin is a part of this gang and it's already been established. Like he's supposed to be like the moral center of this gang, but he's not even a gang member, so to speak.
The movie shows the daughter swimming, right? To establish she's a swimmer. And one of my problems, I guess, and maybe y'all didn't, it didn't bother y'all, but like this whole thing with her and her mom at the beginning, she's asking her about her times and everything, right? And you're like, oh, the swimming is going to come into play later. And it really doesn't. She just, there's a point where she swims, but I mean, like we established her as this swimmer. And I don't know. It just, it felt like a misstep by the movie. Like it's trying to do things that don't really pay off.
I mean,
all right.
No, I mean, I mean, it's just a scene in this movie. I'm not expecting every scene to pay off in The Last House on the Left.
Remember when we watched Crawl?
No, but that is a good movie.
Well, we're talking about Last House on the Left and why it's not a good movie. And that's what I'm saying. In Crawl, her being a swimmer paid off.
No, but my thing is like that swimming scene. I don't think this movie lives or dies by like these certain scenes not paying off. For me, the things that don't mesh, we'll talk about later. But this scene, I think it was just to, because it, what this scene does, it shows that there's a little bit of tension between the mom and the daughter.
Which is stupid. I'm glad you brought that up because I had that in my thing too, but go ahead.
No, well, because I guess to defend this movie in a certain way, it's because later you find out that she had a brother that, you know, there was a fourth member of the family that died, which, I mean, there's a plot point later about that, but I don't know.
So the first part of this movie, if you're asking me how this movie should be, like, because what this movie is, a rape revenge movie, you should be trying to make people as sympathetic as possible towards the family, towards the daughter, towards the mother, towards the father. Having him have tension between the mother and the daughter doesn't help, you know, like you should be trying to build up like a loving family to where when these horrible things happen to her, you want to see this family just go ham and get revenge.
And then, you know, to go along with your point, like Tony Goldwyn came across like an insufferable prick when he talks about like the $3 bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, you're fuck off, you fucking arrogant prick. Like, I know, I agree with you. Like, you want them to be almost like the Waltons or, you know.
Because you got to care what happens to these characters.
Yeah. The daughter really doesn't do anything to make you dislike her, though. I will say that.
But she doesn't really do anything to make you.
You're right. She doesn't. Yeah. She's sort of just middle ground.
And like you, and it could have just been something as simple as when they were doing the fucking swimming scene to where when the daughter was like, how's my time? You know, the mom could have been like, oh, you did wonderful, blah, blah, or something, just where it felt more loving. Cause it doesn't feel that way.
No, I know. And and you can still get across like they lost a son, but you don't need to have that like, that tension. I don't know why because you know the daughter borrows the car later.
Yeah.
And you know, like the dad, he's like, just take the car. Here's $100 for a night on the town in this small fucking bodunk town. I don't know. They added tension where you could have saved that tension for the tension parts.
Mm-hmm. Here's one other thing is that talk about the loving thing is that he only gave her $40. He's like, nah, you ain't getting $100. You get 40. That's right.
I thought it was just a bunch of 20s.
I thought it was 10s, but
I think it was 20s. But regardless, like,
so it was either 40 or 80, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
makes a difference.
But
like they're even to like further illustrate the point though about the tension with the family, when they get there, the daughter asks if she can use the guest house and the mom is against that.
Oh, yeah. And it's like they're trying to set up these things because the script wants to be clever, right? Because she goes and uses the shower at the guest house and you see the shower rod come down, which will be used later. But it's like, I don't give a fuck about that. You know, like, you don't have to set up the shower rod.
Exactly. That's some foreshadowing that wasn't needed. Because, I mean, nobody was just going to be like, because you don't even see her when she takes the shower rod down. She just comes out of the bathroom with it. So who gives a fuck if the shower rod's loose?
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, if the mother had been portrayed as being protective, that would have been different. But that's not the way she's portrayed with all this tension between her and the daughter. Because you would think maybe like, oh, well, they've already lost a child. So now they'd be more protective of this one. So it'd be like, oh, well, honey, you know, we want you to stay in the house with us, you know, blah, blah, blah. Instead of just being like, you seem like you're mildly annoyed that your daughter wants to stay in the guest house.
Yeah. It was a bad play by this script to do that. But. You know, but it is funny though, because they do introduce like Monica Potter is not quite Mama Bear level, right?
Yeah.
Not that you would want, you know, you want her to go fucking ham when it's time to go ham.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have the one badass character that is, Chris, what's the teenager's name in this?
Are you talking about the girl?
Yeah.
Mary.
Mary, her friend.
Paige.
Paige is the badass for these, the victims.
Yeah.
Paige takes no shit from these people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and after she asked for the keys to the vehicle so she can go out for a night on the town, she does go to meet up with Paige like Josh was talking about. And you're given the impression that her and Paige are, you know, longtime friends, but apparently she only sees her when they come to the lake house.
Yeah.
And Paige was working.
She organized some store. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Mary came and seen her at her job and Paige was working and then we get introduced to Justin.
That's right. Yeah. He's about to shop with some stuff. Yeah. He's about to shop.
Yeah. He looks like he's trying to shoplift. And then she says something to him about needing a bag for her, a basket for all the stuff. And he's like, name is Justin.
Dude, it's crazy to think though, if she never said anything about shoplifting, like Paige was still, not be dead toward the middle of the movie.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of things would have happened. If they had never spoke to Justin, then they would have never had to worry about getting stabbed or, you know, sexually assaulted or anything like that. But instead they talk to this dumbass in the store. Mm-hmm. And then he tries to buy some cigarettes and she's like, I can't do that. And he's like, I've got some killer weed. And she's like, well, your rules be damned.
Yeah, it's like whatever. Screw this job, man. Let me sell weed.
Yeah, let me sell him these smokes and let's fucking ride with this dude. Let's take this dude that we've just met
back to
hotel. His fucking motel.
Motel, yeah.
She closed up the store.
Yeah,
just to do it. Fucking shut it down at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Dude, how small is this town, dude? Like, they have no one who wants to shop there at the middle of the day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They kept saying they live in the city, and I'm like, what fucking city in Connecticut do they have? Hartford?
Right.
They can close it down just like middle of the day. Don't even care. Dude, whoever owns that shop of it is pissed, dude.
He probably has to put up with that bullshit all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. My bad.
No, I was going to say, if she's closing it down to follow this fucking bland-looking fucker for some killer-ass smoke. Oh, I'm sure she's shutting them down all the time.
The movie to me wastes time with these three characters because it doesn't endear the characters to me anymore. It doesn't make me fucking sympathize with Justin or anything like that. It's just they're in this fucking hotel room and they decide to do a makeover on this motherfucker.
They do.
It's way too much time spent of them smoking and just talking about nonsense.
Yeah, this could have been time where you could have been establishing a bond between the daughter and her parents to make us give a damn when something bad happens. Or, you know, establishing Paige a little bit more, too, so we feel bad when she gets stabbed. But instead...
Or the family. Or the, I mean, the bad guys, sorry. Because it is a brother. Like, Garrett Dillon Hunt and Aaron Paul, they are brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming Ricky Lindholm is Dillon Hunt's girlfriend?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They slept together in the bed, yeah.
Yeah, because she does make the cop. One of them says, fuck you, or something like that, and he said, we'll see about that later on, or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I blame Paige entirely, though, for Mary getting assaulted, though, because she said she's going there to get the stuff, and then she's leaving. Then Mary walks into Caesar's smoking for like 10 minutes. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. She's like, give me 2 minutes and I'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on, like, dude. And then, yeah. And then eventually the whole gang shows up.
And punched Justin in the stomach.
Yeah, they did. They did. And then Francis, AKA Aaron Paul, is like, is that my shirt you're wearing? It's like, yeah, that is. That they did it to me.
I mean, it feels like they were trying to go for like this From Dusk Till Dawn vibe, and I don't know. It gets, all of this is just filler.
It is filler.
Yeah, they, once they fucking realize what's happening here, Paige fucking runs off into the bathroom and is trying to, you know, make a call. Aaron Paul knocks down the door and smashes her fucking head on the toilet.
He does.
Yeah. Takes the fuck up.
Have you ever hit your head on the toilet?
I have not.
No, I can't say I have.
It doesn't feel good.
I can imagine.
Like,
not a lot of give.
Yeah, I've banged my head off a toilet. It fucking sucks.
I will say the one thing that really bothered me during this movie is that, and again, I like the movie overall, but something that did bother me is that every time they want to go make a phone call, they have no signal. Like every 5 seconds, they have no signal. Well, they're using the world's shittiest phones, dude.
That has to happen. So the movie can happen.
I know, but like, why though? Oh man.
I just told you why. So the movie can happen.
Well,
I suppose so.
This movie is filled with tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Just tropes all throughout it. And that is one. Obviously, like when everything starts going down, of course, it's a storm coming because you got to have rain.
Mm.
Because again, like I have no idea how the original covers it, but it's also a grindhouse movie, so you have this leniency. But these three characters, like, we know nothing about them. Like, and they're just evil for evil's sake. And it's like, you have to give us more than that movie.
Yeah, you don't even know why he's in jail.
No.
Yeah.
And
there you don't.
There's no time spent just with these three characters talking without, like, rape or murder happening.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll go as far to say is I don't even know why the police rescue scene or whatever was needed. You could have just cut that scene altogether.
No, I know. It,
you could have just had the family out and about.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you didn't, I know you were like, wait on it, but you didn't need this Justin character. They could have just needed a car. They didn't need to have this scene of like Justin, like Lord, you know.
Well, now that we're talking about it, my problem with Justin is, it's like you're supposed to feel, I'm assuming, sympathetic towards Justin. But the fact of the matter is, Justin sat by while one girl got murdered and another girl got raped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And didn't do shit. So, you know, at the end of the movie, when he fucking hands over the gun, you know, ooh, big, you still could have done something to stop this. or tried and you didn't. So, you know,
and I guess we'll get there, but what was his fucking game plan? To take the gun and then just sit in the room? Like, what are we doing? I don't know. And it doesn't help that he has like the most punchable face I've ever seen.
And he does have that. So, well, going back to where we were at, they fucking punch Justin in the stomach. They steal the SUV. Well, she tries to give him the keys and she's like, they're like, we won't tell anybody. We won't tell anybody. And you know, he's like, nah, we can't take that chance. So everybody loads up in the fucking SUV and the master plan to escape from this SUV is to burn somebody with a cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
let's just be real too, Josh, Chris, that was an older vehicle, right?
Yeah.
It had to be to have a cigarette lighter in it, but this dude's a doctor. There's no way that's their family car.
That's true. That's
not okay. This was like 2009. This looked like a, what was this? Like a Yukon kind of.
Something like that.
I know that it was old because you could tell by the like the hood also had the faded paint on it.
Yeah. Especially with this like Tony Goldwyn's character who seems like a snooty bitch.
You got a fucking lake house.
Yeah. Yeah. With a fucking speedboat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you have a lake house, a guest house at the lake house, a fucking boat house, and then a boat. So why are you driving around in this fucking jalopy?
I mean, and look, correct me if I'm wrong, but even in 2009, did they have fucking lighters like
no.
For the back seat?
No. That's what I'm saying. They had to use an older vehicle to have it in there, but you could have just did something else. Cause like you, I know it's such a small thing, but I had thought about that when we was watching the movie. This motherfucker's a doctor with all this shit and they're driving around in this thing. And I'm like, Josh, this dude, the way he acts, the way he scoffs at that fucking $4 wine.
Yeah.
He's not driving around this old vehicle.
Hell no. And these bad guys, you know where I stand on this, Bone. Can we have one of them smoke a fucking cigarette? These guys would be, one of these guys would be a smoker. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Probably Dylan Hutt's character, Krug, would probably be one that would smoke, probably. Or probably Aaron Paul's character.
Both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably
but.
So naturally, the fucking escape goes sideways because it has to. They get caught, and Krug, the main bad guy, tells his son, he's like, it's time for you to be a man. And in Krug's world, being a man is equal to raping a defenseless girl. And, you know, and I guess this is where you're also supposed to feel like, you know, sympathetic for Justin. Cause he's like, no, I'm not going to do it or whatever. And so he's like, fine, I'll do it. And then you have this fucking scene that I don't know how I feel about it. Cause a movie like this, let's be real. Cause if you watch the original or if you watch like anything, like I Spit on Your Grave or anything like that, like, they took the scenes so far to make you uncomfortable, to make you uneasy.
Yeah.
And this goes back to what Josh said. The movie's too clean.
Yeah.
So this does, you know, it's not giving you that effect of, oh my God, you know, this is so horrible. It's just like, here's something happening.
Yeah. And it is so funny, though, like you said, like, he tells his son, like, time to be a man. And, like, for this movie, the moral line of decency is not raping. You know, it's just like, that makes Justin a good guy.
Yeah.
Because he chooses not to rape, you know.
Also.
And, yeah, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
I was going to say real quick, there's a trivia on that scene. Apparently that rape sequence took 17 hours to film, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
Of course.
And you see their bruises from that scene
you
because
do.
They filmed it before the hotel room. So when you're in the hotel room, you see the bruises on the girls. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So Mary gets raped. Paige gets stabbed.
Yep.
Paige is a fighter.
She is. She actually gets stabbed. But she's also back too.
Yeah. She also falls into that trope. And look, and I know y'all can agree, I'll forgive tropes and horror movies more so than any other movie. Because the sort of genres, you got to have tropes. I mean, that's what makes the engine run. But she, you know, again, like this movie's filled with tropes. She does the classic thing of as soon as she sees help in the distance, she stops fucking running. Because Paige gets away, you know. She hides in like Winnie the Pooh's little hole. They are right in front of her. They don't see her. She takes off running. She gets to this plant, sees the dude on like a bulldozer, and then just stops.
Well, they did at least try to make out like she hurt her ankle.
Yeah.
When she jumped from 2 feet.
Yeah, I know.
Girl who is 17 years old.
Chris had said the same thing. He brought that up too. He's like, why the fuck did you stop running?
And and then she also, again, I still like the movie. I'm going to prep for that again. But she also did hurt her ankle at the most inopportune time she possibly could have ever. I'm like, how? Like, how do you hurt your ankle right there?
You know what movie does this really well in terms of, like, okay, I see savior or salvation on the other end. I'm almost there. Craven did it really well with Scream when Drew Barrymore gets killed at the very beginning because she had been, her vocal cords were shot. And she's sitting there trying to scream for her parents and nothing's coming out. This movie, not so much. Hmm. But, yeah.
So Paige doesn't make it. She gets right there. And like y'all said, she fucking stops running. She ends up, getting brought back. Stabbed, dies. Mary hits Krug with a rock to the head and takes off running. And gets to the lake and starts swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is where you tie it back to the swimming scene at the front. But she doesn't make it. She ends up getting shot in the shoulder, right?
Yeah, shoulder. Yeah.
And I want to say, and Mary doesn't die in this movie. And I want to say, and I may be wrong because it's been so long. I think the main girl in the original dies.
See, I had no idea.
I'm going to look it up.
Because this movie wants you to think she dies, but they give themselves up because you never see her sink. Right. Once you get shot, she's like floating in the water somehow.
She is. She turns herself around in the water with her face up.
And
yeah, Mary dies in the original.
Mm.
So just let me because that's one thing that the 70s movies did do. Like, they knew how to make you uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to read this to you real quick, just kind of give you a difference between the original and the remake.
Yeah.
The next morning, Mary and Phyllis are bound, gagged, and put in the trunk of Krug's car and transported to the woods. Mary recognizes that the road is near her home. Phyllis is forced to urinate in her jeans, and Mary and Phyllis are forced to perform sexual acts on each other. Phyllis distracts the kidnappers to give Mary an opportunity to escape, but is chased by Sadie and Weasel, while Junior stays behind to guard Mary. Mary tries gaining Junior's trust by giving him her necklace and calling him Willow. Phyllis stumbles across a cemetery where she's cornered and stabbed by Weasel. She crawls to a nearby tree and is stabbed to death. Mary convinces Junior to let her go, but her escape is halted by Krug. Krug carves his name into her chest and then rapes her. Mary vomits, quietly says a prayer, walks into a nearby lake where Krug fatally shoots her.
Hmm.
That's
a fucking a rape revenge movie. Like, that's. Yeah. Well, I guess not technically a rape revenge movie because usually it's the victim getting the comeuppance. Yeah. But there was no way they were going to do that in 2009.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, you're right. Probably not. But you shouldn't even be remaking the movie then. Like, if you're not going to do it, don't do it. Just leave it alone. So, and then there was a gap in my notes, but she swims away. They shoot her. She's floating in the water. You know, the parents are wondering where she's at.
Yep.
You know, yada, yada, yada. Fucking storm comes in. And then the Krug family, I don't even know what they're called. They show up at the house and they take shelter there.
Yep.
And they show the fucking scene where I did like the special effect on this.
Mm-hmm.
When they set Aaron Paul's nose and then stitched him.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good right there. And the only reason they seek shelter is because they act like there was an accident, but it was because Mary had hit Francis Aaron Paul's character with that rock and stuff. That's the reason they were able to get in the home initially. That's what that episode that is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just to sort of backtrack, because we're going to need to talk about it sooner or later. The character Mary, she goes into her older brother's room and, or maybe her room, I guess, and grabs a necklace that he had given her.
Yes.
And she's wearing it. The mother noticed she's wearing it. And when she's getting raped, it comes off and she tries to grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And Krug takes it and throws it. And then good God, Justin picks it up.
He's probably fucking grabbed it so he could get some money for crack.
Yeah.
I don't trust this Justin guy. Seems pretty shiesty to me.
It's fucking useless.
Yeah. So the gang is going to, they offer to let the gang stay the night in the guest house. Mm-hmm. Because they think that Mary is staying over at Paige's.
Yeah.
And then, like Josh said, good guy Justin, he pieces it together while they're there.
He sees it on the fridge.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I mean, piecing it together. And so he decides that he's going to leave a clue. So he leaves the necklace by the, what the fuck?
Ice mug.
Yeah, it's hot chocolate.
That's right.
No, it's hot chocolate.
Dude, and oh my God. I don't know why it stuck with me, but when she's like, Justin, would you like some hot chocolate? It's like, what is Justin?
Oh,
he's got to be like 18, 17.
Yeah. Would you like some hot chocolate, son? Kiddo?
That hot chocolate would look pretty good, too, because you like cooked it on the stove and everything.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of hot chocolate. Sorry, guys, but you know, sorry.
Oh, you know what? This has nothing to do with the fucking movie, Josh, but let's talk about it. You'll get a kick out of this. We'll put Chris on blast because it's fun.
Oh, yeah. My.
Chris, tell Josh how you make a pizza.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Good night. Everybody have a good day. No, just kidding. I cook my pizza. I cook it like normal. And then I pick the cheese off. You know? I don't like pizza with cheese. I just take the cheese off. I got pepperoni sauce and then the bread.
You don't like cheese.
That's right.
Are you lactose intolerant?
I am not. I don't like milk. I don't like cheese. I like ice cream, just not the milk kind of ice cream, whatever you call it. It's milk by itself. I just don't like cheese. I any type of cheese. I hate cheese. So I just peel it off.
Wow.
Dude, it's good.
Now, too. is that pizza still, Josh? Because I've said that it's breadsticks.
That's pretty much breadsticks.
No. Because what about all the seasoning they put on the pizza and stuff?
You put seasoning on breadsticks, too?
Yeah, but not the same kind.
Italian cheesy bread from Little Caesars? Italian cheesy bread is actually pretty good.
No,
that's probably the best thing Little Caesars has going for.
I'll eat the shit out of some Italian cheesy bread.
I don't like cheese. I wish I could enjoy it. I'm sorry. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by this. I'm not shocked.
Nipple Cypher said, blasphemy, Daria's life in the Twitch chat.
How do you take your coffee, Chris?
Oh, I don't like coffee. I have water sitting right here. I like water and Prime Hydration by Logan Paul and KSI.
This dude,
put that shit down. We are not getting paid.
Yeah, right. Don't be advertising anything. We're like Brock Lesnar up in this bitch at UFC. What was it? 100, Josh? When he's like, I'm going to go home and mount my wife and then drink some Coors Light because Bud Light won't pay me any money.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, I'll, here's another thing I don't like, Josh, real quick. I don't like steak either.
I don't even know why you're on this podcast. I really don't. What?
Dude, I bring the energy to the podcast, man. I bring the energy.
You don't like steak. You don't like cheese. You don't drink coffee.
I don't.
You don't like ice cream.
That's right. I don't like alcohol either, really. I don't. So I don't know if that matters to you.
Oh, then you're on the wrong podcast, babe. I don't know. You...
Again, I like Prime Hydration by KSI Logan Paul. Buy it now.
Quit showing that. Josh, I told you.
Yeah.
Logan Paul isn't giving us any of his money.
Not yet.
Oh, God. You just drank it in a way that it showed up on there. You should have leaned out of frame. Took a sip of that.
Whatever, man. Whatever. Oh, my.
So, anyways, Mary's crawling to the fucking house. She makes it inside.
It's pretty cool. To me, this movie, like, the peak is right here. When they find Mary. And you know what? Kudos to the screenplay. She passes out on the porch. She's using the rocking chair to bang against the wall to get their attention. They come out. They see her. The dad being a doctor, you know, like when he has to, when she barely whispers to him, like, I can't breathe, he turns her over on her side.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at first, he cauterized the bullet wound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty good effects there. She tells him she can't breathe. He takes a Windex bottle and he uses that knife that he cauterized her wound with and stabs it and then puts the little
tube. Yeah.
It's a tube in her lungs. Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm assuming she had fluid in her lungs.
Yeah. Like yeah. She had blood in her lungs. I really like that. I liked the Anton Chigurh dressing a wound scene, you know,
like fucking bone is sticking out. Look at that fucking bone. Chris, did you like No Country for Old Men?
Sure.
You haven't seen it.
He hasn't seen it.
Oh my God. I don't even know what's going on here.
I have not. I will also say real quick for the podcast viewers, I it is really convenient in this movie that her dad is the specific type of doctor he is to do this type of work. Because they give you like a veterinarian or something, but no, this man's an actual like surgeon, it looks like, or some crap like that. So he can do human repairs like this. Like it's very convenient.
Human repairs.
I mean, yeah. I mean, no, I don't even know human repair. You're repairing the human body. I mean,
he's like an auto mechanic.
Yeah, he is.
He's installing a new crankshaft.
Yeah,
human repairs, guys.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Wait.
The.
Go ahead.
What?
No, I was gonna tell Josh, you missed it. I was gonna say real fast before Billy continued. I said it's really convenient that her dad is a specific type of doctor to do the human repair type of thing he did on her. You know, like he just fixed her up. It could have been like a veterinarian or something like that, but he's like a surgeon type of
thing. Have you ever heard it referred to as human repairs? Like he's a fucking mechanic.
I love it though.
That's what it is. He's repairing the human body.
So he's a human mechanic.
The mom finds the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like Josh said, the dad finds out as she's raped because he's a doctor. And then John being the dad's name, tells Emma, being the mom, that she was raped. And then Emma tells her about the necklace and they piece it together.
Yeah.
like who's who. And then, yeah, we get this fucking scene where they're sleeping and Justin takes the gun. And like Josh said, was his plan just to sit there with the fucking gun in his hand all night?
Yeah. Well, I think before that, didn't Aaron Paul woke up from the storm, right? That's before that happened. And he walked.
Well, no, Justin takes the gun first.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. So he's has it in his possession for a while.
Yeah.
Cause Krug gets up and goes to the bathroom or something. Justin takes the gun. Krug doesn't fucking notice it's missing when he gets back in bed. And then, yeah, Aaron Paul comes into the house.
That's right.
And Aaron Paul made like a little throwaway comment earlier in the movie where he thinks that the mom likes him.
Oh, yeah. It's like into her. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so he's trying to flirt with her or something, yep. I guess, in this scene.
Yeah.
And this scene lacks any tension with the mom and Aaron Paul. She has two knives out. And then it's just, he's like, well, do you want a beer? Because she's trying to like fake seduce him. And then he's like, well, I'm hoping for something stronger. My husband's passed out because he drank it all. How about wine? Gets the wine. Oh, you forgot wine glasses. I mean,
yeah,
it's a whole lot of filler. There's no tension in this scene.
And then she mentioned like adult beverage. I initially thought when she said adult beverage, she's talking about sex. But she mentioned wine. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we call it, Chris. Whenever we want to have sex, we call it adult beverages.
Dude, I mean,
and you've established that you don't like adult beverages. So this tracks.
I like that adult beverage. It's not the alcohol adult beverage. But yeah, I mean, what?
I call beer sex in a can, you know.
There you go. No, but you know, yeah, there wasn't a lot of tension, but it did its job.
But no, it actually didn't do its job because there was no tension.
And so we're getting into the part where they start killing the bad guys, right?
That's right.
Now, whatever the movie does or doesn't do, or whether you like it or hate it or anything like that, I'm going to say this. It falls short on the comeuppance. Like one thing that these fucking older movies, like I talked about it, they made you feel uncomfortable, you know, with the things that happens to their main characters, but they also paid it off. Like, have you seen I Spit on Your Grave, the original?
I haven't, no.
There's a scene in there. So it's a rape revenge movie, and the main character gets raped by a gang of people, and she survives, and she goes through and kills them one by one. What did the dude she kills? You know how she fucking kills them? Cuts his dick off in a bathtub and lets him bleed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a satisfying revenge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking struggling to kill Aaron Paul, though? Like, no. Like, if this, you and I both, Josh, are fathers to daughters.
Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Cutting dicks off, sticking it up their ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about torture.
Exactly. You wouldn't have been satisfied with, you know, just killing. You would have wanted to inflict punishment on them. And if you, once again, I hate to go back. Well, I don't hate to go back to it because, you know, fuck it. I like talking. Going back to the beginning of the movie where they didn't establish that bond between the family, you know,
you
should, at this point, when this all comes to a head, you should be just chomping at the bit for this mother and father to inflict as much damage on these people as possible. And it does.
You should be cheering the violence when it happens, like when they get there. Yeah. It should be a cathartic release. And like, because this movie's so scared to go there, or I don't know, maybe I think it was a victim of its time, 2009, you know, it doesn't feel like they're really pushing these buttons. But, you know, like even when she attacks Aaron Paul, it would have been more cathartic. But again, this movie falls into these trope pitfalls she had two knives there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he goes into the living room and he sees the daughter on the table. She decides to attack him with a goddamn wine bottle as opposed to the fucking knives in the throat. Like, it would have been cathartic for her to, like, just come up around him and stick that fucking knife in his eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it would have bothered me a lot because, you know, eye trauma and whatnot. But, like, you, what are we doing?
Hey, if this movie was directed by Fulci.
Dude. Yeah.
There'd have been three eye trauma scenes, though.
Everybody gets an eye trauma scene. The rape would have had an eye trauma scene.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know why she used the wine bottle. She could use pretty much anything else, like a pan, a skillet, a knife, anything, knock him out, something. You know.
I did like that they stuck his hand in the trash compactor, but.
Yes.
But also, well, as much as I like that part, I'm still going back to, like, this, like Josh said, this should be a release for you. They shouldn't have struggled this much with Aaron Paul.
No.
They should have just been, like, getting revenge and not having a back-and-forth tussle.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that happens with, like, every single family member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They all put up a good, pretty good fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did like the claw hammer to the head.
That was okay. I felt when I was watching this that they were just gonna drown him.
I did
because that's what they're and it's like what a cop out of a death.
He was smart because he pulled the water plug out of the sink. You know, yeah, he pulled that right out of himself, and then he almost saved himself. But then they, you know,
yeah, they put his hand in the garbage disposal, and
yeah,
the movie. Shows you what a half a second of the hand,
yeah,
as he falls down. They don't even linger on it,
which once again they should have. Like I said, you want to see these bad things happen to these, or you're supposed to want to see these bad things happen to these people. But like the movie didn't do a good job of making you want to see bad things happen to them, and then it doesn't do a real good job of delivering on the bad things happening.
No, and we'll get to it. And it's like when Krug finally like confronts his son. I wanted Krug to kill his son. Maybe I just wanted Justin to die. Like, he's such a useless character. He's not needed.
Yeah. And he's not, you know, once again, I think you're supposed to have this idea that Justin's redeemed, but. No, he sat by and watched a murder and rape. He's not redeemed because at this one moment, he's like, oh, here's the gun. You know, kill my dad who abuses me.
Yeah. All of it was pointless.
Well, without Justin, the family wouldn't have known that they were the bad guys. Without the little necklace, you know?
That feels like the only reason he's in this goddamn movie.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. That's probably true. And then when we get to it in a second, I do have a kind of a problem with the bedroom scene with the gun and everything. I guess
we're fucking there. Let's talk about it. Yeah. So
yeah.
Justin offers the gun to what was his name again? John.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some noise made and Sadie fucking wakes up and he clips her like in the side of the neck.
This is my problem right here. Why didn't he just shoot Krug first? Why didn't he shoot him first?
Well, she's the one who woke up first.
Well,
at least she sat up first.
Yeah, she sat up first, but he still could have shot him first. That would have been smarter because I killed the strong, dominant male first, then shoot the female if you want to. Like, she wasn't really any threat to him, really, you know?
Well, I mean, she fucking did work with that shower rod.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right.
Till she got shot in the fucking eye.
Oh, yeah, that was a little bit of eye trauma right there. Wasn't that bad, but. She did get shot in the eye. That was pretty good.
I'll go ahead and tell you that during this moment, Chris was all excited because she was topless. Right.
Oh, yeah. This scene. And then earlier, way earlier in the movie, when we first introduced in the motel room, she immediately pulls her top off. I'm like, all right, dude, we're doing
it. Yeah, she does that as soon as she gets in the room.
That was great.
It felt like it was just for you, Chris.
It was for me. It was. They knew my style. Did they know my style of movie watching?
4 stars.
Yeah.
4 stars.
No, 5 stars. 5 stars.
5 stars.
5 out of 5, dude.
Daniel never gives out 5 stars. Chris is just about to give them out like candy.
You know what? I respect the hell out of Chris. He's like, hey, man, I don't like the good stuff in life, like beer, pizza,
yeah,
coffee,
right.
Steak,
adult beverages.
He loves titties, though.
I do.
Loves titties.
Tits and ass. Not sure which one I like more, but I like both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking let's get into the horny side of this podcast.
That's right, dude. XXX, yeah. Let's go. That's right.
John and Krug fight.
Yes.
And this is what I'm gonna read you my note the way I got it written down.
Yeah.
John and Krug fight. What I really want to see is John kick the shit out of Krug. Because that's what you should be. That's what it should be building up to.
Right.
Is him just fucking obliterating this dude. But it doesn't happen that way.
It's so funny. But again, like the script is just, it's lacking in certain parts. And then it's just kind of dumb in a lot of parts. Because Krug's upstairs. John's downstairs. John doesn't know where he's at because this fucking country home is a mansion. And Krug throws something.
Wait a minute, is this before or after Krug jumped out the window?
Is it before?
Is it because he leaves the guest house and doesn't he end up in the main house?
Yes, you're right. He jumps out the window of the guest house. You're right.
Yes.
This is the main house. He throws something to distract John to think he's somewhere else.
Yes.
Okay. I get that. He then immediately goes into the room. It starts yelling out the window.
He does.
Like,
he does.
What was the goddamn point?
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. So, Krug throws something to distract him. No, what happens is that he throws something, and then John walks into a room because he thought he had left the building again. He's going after his family, you know?
You're right. So, he does sneak attack him. He Pearl Harbors him.
Yeah, and Krug is in the corner right there, and then we see the lightning strike. We see him sitting in the corner right there. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what? I've been hard on this movie. 4 stars.
There you go. Dude, it has some good scenes, you know? Like, we all thought, man, he did lead the building. He was right there the whole time.
Name a good scene that didn't involve titties, Chris. You can. There we go.
No, listen.
Chris is basing this on 2 shots of titties, 1 star per titty, 4 stars.
Dude, listen. Now, there's a good scene. The scene, again, the whole rape scene, I thought was acted pretty well. Like, it made you feel real uncomfortable. That was the whole point of that scene. And then, again, every scene with Justin involved, I love Justin. He's a great character.
You need to watch some of, like, either the original version of this, or like I said, I Spit on Your Grave.
Yeah, I'll watch the original of this.
There was another one they showed on the last drive-in. I can't remember what it was. But those movies made you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when I say I Spit on Your Grave, I don't mean the remake either, Chris.
The original?
Yes, I mean the original.
Oh, man. But, yeah, no, that was pretty good. And then also, I'm not going to say anything about it, but at the very end, there's a scene involving one of the main characters that was really good, too. I thought it was pretty good.
Well, we're there almost. If you want to talk about it, talk about it.
Okay. Well, at the very end of the movie, Garen Dillahunt's character gets his paralyzed.
Wait, stop. Let's not talk about it right now.
Okay, well.
I'm just messing with you.
No, I'll wait. You said to wait.
Justin finally confronts Krug. He finally grows a set of balls. And to his credit, I guess, he tried to shoot him, but there was no bullets left.
Yes, he did. He did shoot him.
He gets stabbed for his trouble.
Mm-hmm. But he's not fatally stabbed, though, which is kind of weird. You would think he would kill him at this point.
Yeah, his character should have died. I'm with Josh. His character should have died.
His character should have never existed. Well, but yeah, if you're going to have him here, fucking kill. I would have cheered more over his death than the bad guys.
Because then at least, like, if he gives his life to try to rectify, like, his lack of action early in the movie, then you could be like, hey, you know, he tried to do the right thing at the end, you know, and he paid with his life. Maybe he wasn't such a bad guy after all, but he's got to die for that to happen. Otherwise, he's still just the asshole that set to the side while a rape and murder happened.
Yeah, he's still an accomplice. Yeah. So he's probably, again, it's not really a spoiler or nothing like that, but we never see him go to jail or nothing either, which he should technically go to jail. So, yeah.
Well, we could talk about jail when we get there. Because, yeah, I got something to say about that. But, yeah, so Krug, like, it's the final fight. It's, again, I know I'm just beating a dead horse. I'm just fucking repeating myself. There's no tension in the final fight. And, like, you're kind of left with blue balls because they just hit him a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see him drive off in the boat and you're like, well, that was anticlimactic, you know? And that's like, for Chris, it's like showing a woman in a blouse and she don't take it off, you know? You're like, well, what's the point, you know?
Well, you find out that he paralyzed him.
It's coming back.
Yeah, he comes back and you find out that he paralyzed him. And this is what Chris was talking about. He sticks his head in a microwave and blows it up.
Yeah. That was great. I love that scene.
You know what would have been more satisfying?
What's that?
Is if you covered that man in honey and put him on top of an ant pile.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I thought it was good. My only, not really complaint. I'm like, what kind of fucking microwave was he using, dude? That thing looked like it was 1 million BTUs or something.
Well, you see him fuck around with it earlier in the movie because he's trying to blame the brother on fucking it up.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's a son of a bitch. Hey, and listen, I don't know what the Connecticut laws are, but I don't think you can do that.
In terms of
I think the law is going to have something to say about you actively paralyzing the guy and then putting his head in the microwave. Like, it wasn't a crime of, like, in the heat of the moment. Like, you fucking
premeditated.
Yeah.
You know what would have been more satisfying than a microwave kill?
What's that?
If he had took a pair of pliers and ripped his fingernails out.
Oh, yeah. That'd be pretty good. He does slice him a couple of times with the razor blade. Like, makes him bleed a little bit. And then
I got to say.
What?
Bones watched too many giallo movies. Like, it is fogging your brain. You love Fulci, man. You love him.
Oh, dude. So we started one the other night and we didn't get to finish it, but apparently he has like a Western for the apocalypse.
Was this after giallo?
I don't know.
It probably was before, because a lot of those Italian directors started out like with the spaghetti web.
Oh, no, this is supposed to be violent, though, like his horror offerings.
Yeah.
So we all need to watch it.
Yeah, what's it called?
Oh.
Four of the Apocalypse.
That was the one that was banned, right, Billy?
It's on Night Flight.
Yeah, that's one that was like banned in a couple countries, right?
Yeah.
Oh, a good giallo is going to get banned, and I mean, that's how you know it's good. I know I'm not saying this is a giallo, but you know what I mean.
I remember parts of it. I think I was trying to fall asleep during that movie. I would have been.
You know what else would have been satisfying?
What's up?
If they'd have taken like bamboo shoots and hammered them under.
Jesus. Stop.
You know what would have been even better? We had some eye trauma in that scene. They spoke like a needle through his eye or something, you know? Like each one. That would have been even better.
Josh, did you watch Audition? I haven't. Well, you only need to watch like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah,
Me and you watched that, right, Billy?
Yeah, where he took the piano wire and sawed off, or she took the piano wire and sawed off a foot.
Yes. Oh, it was great, dude. That was so good. And she's like, knee, 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 the whole time. It's like just making fun of it, basically. It's great.
And then she fucking cuts halfway through his other leg.
Yeah.
And then finally the sun shows up.
Yeah. Great.
Look at Josh cringing.
I know. Yeah. Josh would love it.
That's rough.
Dude, Josh, you never needed to watch any of the Saw movies, man, because you would hate them. You hate the stuff we're talking about, man. Have you ever seen any of the Saw movies?
He's about to watch 4 through 10.
No.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Man. But yeah, I mean, again, that's pretty much where the movie ends, with the head exploding, and then they kind of ride off to the sunset with Justin, mind you, again, which he should be in jail probably.
They should have threw that motherfucker in the lake.
Jesus.
What were you going to say about jail earlier, Josh?
No, yeah, the dad's going to jail. You can't just fucking blow a guy's head off in a microwave, like, outside of that heat of the moment, like he a premeditated murder. Yeah.
No, I mean, they can say it was self-defense, though.
That is not self-defense. Self-defense is shooting the girl in the eye. That's self-defense.
Oh, man. I mean,
like, look, he took his time with this guy.
No, they'll just have the body. No,
when we do our ratings, Chris is going last.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Because I got a feeling that we're going to be on two different sides of the coin here.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I think so.
You know,
Josh, give us your thoughts about it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's so funny, though, because, like, and I don't know if this ever happens to you, Bone, and it rarely happens to me. To where, like, once we start talking about a movie, you like it less or you kind of like it more, you know? And talking through this, when I got done watching it last night, I'm like, okay, there's some things I liked. There's some things I didn't. And I think I'd originally rated it 2.5. Oh. And then as we're talking about it, I write down in my notes, nah, this is 2.
Mm.
And then I started thinking about Justin. I'm like, this is a 1.5-star movie.
No. No, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's...
Oh, man.
This movie... it's tropes. It's like the thing you want from a rape revenge movie. This doesn't give you. So it's failed on that most basic level.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like Bone has said, like make the family lovable. If you're not gonna commit fully to the rape revenge, make the family lovable and let us hate the bad guys more.
Right.
And they don't do either of those. And then you got this AI creation of Justin, who is pointless, worthless. Just why is this character in the fucking movie? Yeah, and you know, I made a list last night, Bone, and we were looking at these horror remakes from this time period, you know, House of Wax, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, My Bloody Valentine, Carrie, Halloween, Amityville, Friday, Dawn of the Dead, Hills Have Eyes, Black Christmas, The Fog, The Stepfather, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Crazies, and Fright Night. This is bottom tier.
Yeah, I agree with that. I will say this. I guess in defense of the movie, it's bottom tier, but it's not fucking Nightmare on Elm Street bottom tier.
Oh, I'd take Nightmare over this.
Would you?
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched that?
No, look, I know the problems. And you know, when we eventually get to Nightmare, like, I'm not going to have a lot of good things to say about it. But this was just, again, a rape revenge movie without the revenge aspect that you're looking for.
Well, yeah, it was without a lot of things. And it's like you said, and yeah, while we were sitting here talking about it, I did, I think I changed mine too, because I originally had 2 stars, but you bring up a lot of good valid points. And I feel like 1.5 stars is probably a better, because 2 stars is my baseline. That's where every movie I review starts. It starts at 2 stars. And if it's just a movie,
it stays
2 stars. If it does something more than that, then it moves up. If you're giving me a rape revenge flick without the revenge or without the satisfying revenge that you want, then it's a problem. If you give me a rape revenge movie that doesn't make me feel sympathetic towards the main characters, we have a problem. And it doesn't do either of those things. I can think of another movie, and I've said the same movies over and over, so I'll bring up another movie. Have you seen The Accused?
No. Is that the Jodie Foster?
Yes.
No, I haven't. I want to.
That's an uncomfortable scene. And you, like, when it's done, you despise the people that's in that, like, the people that did it.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see them just get what's coming to them. This movie doesn't do that. So, yeah, 1.5 stars for me. Chris, okay. Tell us why it's a 5-star classic.
Good titties and ass. There four we go. Titties. That's right. For the four titties. So it's got 4 stars already and then 5 stars for sure. No, I mean, I'm...
Chris, if a movie has titties, what's your baseline?
Oh, bro, those titties. It's an immediate 3-star movie immediately.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
And it goes up from there. Maybe more than that. Dude, that has like no titties, bro. I mean, it's just, I don't know about that.
He gives it that 5-star deduction like Joe Bob.
What Schindler's List lacked was titties.
Oh, no. Oh,
4.5 stars.
Oh, no. Okay. I would give this movie probably. I was thinking 3 stars, but the more we talked about, maybe 2.5. But I like some of the scenes. You know, I'll probably give it a 3.
Be true to yourself. Yeah,
that's right. I get it a three, probably. I think it could have taken advantage of a longer runtime. You know, they had more fleshed out and stuff like that.
This movie was almost like 1:50, man.
I know.
It didn't need to be longer. It just needed to do different shit with what it had.
It needed to be succinct.
Well, I mean, it did have like 2-hour and 30-minute runtime. We could have more background stories from the characters.
That'd have been too long.
That'd have been a 1-star movie.
Man, no, it was not bad. No, there's you guys haven't seen a 1-star movie, bro. You have never seen a 1-star movie. Like what? Yeah. Give me one.
I gotta go through my fucking letterbox to find.
Had you guys ever seen a
Scream 5, Scream 6, or 1-star movies to me? The Black Phone was a 1-star movie. I've seen 1-star movies, but.
You motherfucker.
You guys ever seen A Wrinkle in Time from Disney? That movie was trash, dude.
Yeah.
I wanted to walk out of the theater when I saw that movie, dude. That thing was so bad.
I wish I could. Oh, you know what? I gave Venom, Let There Be Carnage, 1/2-star.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in your list. Yeah. That movie wasn't that bad.
That movie sucked.
Oh, man.
I gave The Predator 1-star.
Man,
that movie's better than 1-star.
The Predator,
yeah,
with Joel Kinnaman.
That didn't have Joel Kinnaman, did it?
There's a lot of Predator movies. Which one are you talking about?
The Predator that had like the Super Predator, did right? Or no, it wasn't Joel Kinnaman, it was
Boyd Holbrook.
Yeah, they're interchangeable.
No, I like Boyd Holbrook.
They're interchangeable. That movie was 1-star. That movie sucked. I gave Suicide Squad 1.5-star. That was probably being generous.
Now I'm curious as to what I gave 1.5-star. Hang on.
I gave No Country for Old Men 5 stars.
There you go.
Apparently, I haven't
given anything 1-star.
Oh, no, I gave Scream 6, Cocaine Bear.
Deep Star 6 got 1/2-star.
Oh, my.
What'd
you give Cocaine Bear, Josh?
I gave it 1.5, I think. No, yeah, 1.5. Yeah.
Oh, I've got to go back and fucking revise the review. This is some...
What'd you do?
I gave The Barbarians 1-star.
Oh, yeah, that's like 3 stars.
Yeah, if this is a 1.5-star movie.
I agree. Barbarians is...
That's 4 stars.
I got to revise that. I gave, Scream 5 and 6, 1/2 and 1-star. Black Phone, 1-star.
Firewalker gave it 1/2-star.
It's probably better than that. Not by much.
I was going to say, you don't remember Firewalker? We were pretty hard on it.
I gave It Chapter 2 1.5.
There's that
I gave,
bad.
I gave Christmas Evil 1 star.
Christmas Evil should be 5 stars. What are you talking about, Billy?
I gave The Dirt bad. 0.5 star.
Oh, man. I look back on some of these now with the rating I gave this movie, and I feel like maybe I was too hard on them. But I'm not going to go back and change. I'm not going to go back and change. They're rated what they're rated.
That's
it
right.
It is what it is. And Last House on the Left 2009 sucked.
That is subjective. Yeah, it sucked.
You just gave it 3 stars.
I know. That doesn't mean it's super good. It's average, but it's not the greatest movie I've ever seen. But it has to have other perspectives, you know. I thought it could improve on some stuff for sure. But it had titties, so I needed 3 stars for me. Immediate.
We have established that's his baseline.
Yeah.
It is, dude. I'm telling, dude, the movie watched the other night, Bloodhawkers, that movie gets a 4 stars from me, bro. It gets 4 stars, dude. I'll tell you what, man. That movie.
Yeah,
it gets 4 stars. You know why, Billy.
What if one of these movies we watch is a titty covered in cheese?
2.9.
Okay, so the titty outweighs the cheese.
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Very much. It also depends on what type of cheese there is. If it's like American cheese, maybe. But if it's like blue cheese, nah, I'm not into that. But it depends on the cheese type. So there's a limit. I draw the line somewhere.
Well, everybody has, you know, we all. It's nice to know that you know your limits.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
All right.
That's right.
So that was Last House on the Left. Chris loved it. Me and Josh hated it. We may not ever have Chris on this podcast again because of this.
No. Don't be like that.
This was your audition and you blew it.
No, I thought it was the remake, dude. I didn't know it was the original we were going to watch. Maybe we should have watched the original.
Wait,
we watched the remake. You got that backwards.
I was saying, like, I didn't know we were supposed to watch the original. Like, I thought we were supposed to watch the remake. I have no idea. It didn't specify a year in the list, dude. Like, what am I supposed to do?
I gotta
make the assumption.
All right, we're gonna.
Yeah, it's your turn to pick the state. Boom.
Yeah, I gotta pull up the fucking list again. I may ask for your opinions.
Mm-hmm. I'll have the best opinion. Trust me. You can trust my opinion. You can trust my opinion.
I doubt that. All right, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I got the list. Alabama's Body Snatchers. I would like to do Alaska, but I think Daniel would want to cover that one with us.
What is that?
30 Days a Night.
Never seen it.
Chris wanted to do Deliverance, but we'd already covered that.
Yeah, Deliverance was my first choice, actually. I didn't know you guys had already covered it.
Yep.
The Crazies is really good from Iowa. Never seen that before. That one's amazing. That was actually really good. It Follows Michigan. That's good. I've heard from somebody that The Beast Within is really good. From Mississippi, you know?
That must have been a different podcast. You know what? Fuck, we're going to do something a little lighter.
Okay.
We're going to do Critters.
Critters. I've never seen it.
Kansas.
Have you seen it, Josh?
Years ago. Okay. Years ago. This is coming off the Gremlins craze.
Yep.
We got Ghoulies and Critters. And I think part 3 is DiCaprio's first movie.
Yeah. And Joe Dante even made a comment about it. He's like on In Search of Darkness, one of the volumes. I can't remember which one. But, you know, he's talking about, like, out of all the Gremlin ripoffs.
Knockoffs.
Whatever. Yeah. He's like, Critters was the best. And then he'd also said, he's like, but who am I to say anything about that? Because my first movie was a Jaws ripoff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And Spielberg came out and said, like, Piranha was the best of the Jaws ripoffs. And I like Piranha. Yeah. But yeah, I think Critters. What? Critters will be fun to talk about because Critters knows what it is.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it.
And it's got Dee Wallace in it.
Yeah, Dee Wallace and I think maybe one more person of note.
I want to say, I think the kid in that movie has a punchable face, if I remember correctly.
One of them does, I know for a fact. Yeah, one of them definitely has. I mean, it could be the second. It might be the first one. Because I think the second one, they bring back the kid.
Christ.
Critter says Dee Wallace, Emmett Walsh, Billy Green.
Emmett Walsh. There we go. Yes.
Plays Harv. Whoever that is. But yeah, I'll be down to watch that. I've never seen it. So yeah, I wasn't even born when this movie came out. And you guys were. So.
All right. Know. So Critters is next. Mm-hmm. Any final words? Anything you want to say, Chris, before we cut this off?
All right. I want to say two things. One, I've never seen the Goonies, so I just want to say that real quick. Also, second thing is I hope I get brought back, guys, because I'm the party of this podcast. So maybe I'll see you guys next time if I'm invited back. But I've had a great time being here. I love you guys.
That's Aww. It. It's Valentine's Day.
That's Josh, sweet. Anything else, buddy?
I ain't got shit to say. Fuck
me neither.
This movie.
Fuck Justin.
Go
right?
Kick rocks.
Fuck Justin.
All right, guys. Well, we thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye bye.
Ciao.
Love you guys.